So we were reading Revelation, and you'll see me rabbit trailing out of this text, because eventually I'd like to do shows that just go right through all the different books of the Bible one at a time, and we're working on that. I mean, the number of hours we work every day is just ridiculous. For me, that's evidently going to increase, not decrease. it would be great to find more laborers. Laborers are few. I mean, there's a lot of churches out there in the world, but they're not working for Christ. They're working for Satan. And I'll show you that, and it tells you that in Revelations right here. You know, it talks about this, you know, this harlot, this whore, who has made agreements with the kings of the earth so that they would give her a ride. They would give her, you know, their power would support her. And this is actually happening way back. You know, I was talking to you about, in previous shows, about Joseph of Austria, who was the one who said that marriages are no longer the church's province, it's going to be a civil contract. That's where that all really got fundamental, get started going. I mean, you had the same thing happen back in the days of Rome. You know, religion was always a vow between one family and the next, and where the matrix of the woman, the womb of the woman, that's what the matrix is, would enter into the household of the husband and now become a part of that family, and now her inheritance would pass down through that family. And it was based on contract. But this was between families and individuals. It wasn't a civil contract. But by the time Augustus Caesar came on the scene, the first Caesar, the first commander-in-chief, then he started seeing civil marriage taking place. But it was rare. Most people didn't do it. But, you know, if you wanted to have this divorce and use the courts to have divorces, and you wanted to have unnatural marriages, you know, then you could get this civil marriage. Eventually, it came about where there were gay marriages. You know, on the Justinian codes, they allowed almost anybody to get married. I think you could get married to your goat if you wanted to. I mean, it took a while to get to those days of deprivation, but, you know, that's the direction you'll go when you start becoming a socialist state, because you're starting to abandon the ways of God. You know, if you think it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods, then next thing you know, it'll be okay to kill your neighbor and rob your neighbor. And there won't be any conscience left in society. And you'll become sick, and you have all kinds of disease, and, you know, cancer will be rampant. But that's the way you'll go. And that's why you see what's happening today. Because you're not going the way of Christ. You're not loving one another. You're not taking care of one another by the perfect law of liberty. And therefore, you're not at liberty. You're under tribute. You should be under tribute because you've been slothful in the ways of God. The slothful should be under tribute. That's what the Bible tells you. Somebody was actually surprised that I said that. And they called into a show I was on and said, "Why does it say that?" Proverbs. It's said it for thousands of years. It's been the way it is because it's the way it is. Can't you handle the truth? You're in bondage because you have rejected the ways of God. You've done it in your Methodist church, your Lutheran churches, your Baptist churches. You've all rejected the ways of God. You've got a minister and a lot of music that makes you feel good, but it isn't making you do what's right. You need to be rebuked. So anyway, I think that's pretty good. I could tell you the Mule Skinner story, but I'll leave that off. I don't think we'll have enough time for it. You'll have to wait. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon the scarlet-colored beast, full of names. So it's a lot of guys, full of names. This beast is composed of a lot of people. You see these monster stories where, you know, they have some sort of ghostly demon that's actually composed of, like, locusts or something, and it comes together and makes this individual, and it walks around destroying people. But that's what the beast is composed of, all kinds of little beasties. Every cell in that beastie's body is a beastie cell. No wonder you're cancerous. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and having golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. What did Jesus look like? Though he was rich, he made himself poor. He walked amongst the people with sandals and simple cloth and white robes of an Essene, you know, because he led the simple life of service. So you see any churches doing that? Are they walking around in $600 suits with golden crowns on their heads and what have you? I mean, the Protestants, they tone her down a little bit, but I've seen a lot of Protestant ministers with jets and million-dollar homes. That ain't Christ. You make excuses for it because you want excuses for your own avarice. And upon her forehead was a name written. Mystery Babylon the Great. Secret Babylon the Great. Secret House of Nimrod. These are metaphors. They're trying to paint you a picture. Once now that I've painted it, you get it. But here, what's the next line? The mother of harlots. All those little harlots. Those protesting little harlots. Now, I'm being really hard on all these. You know, there are a lot of people, Baptist people. My great-grandfather was Baptist. My mother was born a Baptist. But I mean, he was an actual Baptist minister, started churches in Norway, which was no easy task because the Lutherans had that market cornered there, I think. I think it was the Lutherans was the state church. And state church, hey, you know, are we talking some daughter of the harlot riding the beast too? State-supported church. There you go. So she riding the back of the beast. Now, they tell you lots of good things. And you know, Martin Luther certainly had a lot of good points when talking about the wickedness of what religion had become, selling indulgences and all this kind of stuff. But you want to follow Christ, not Luther, not the Baptist, not the Buddhists, the Jews. You want to follow Christ. What did Christ do? Are you coming in the name of Christ? Are you coming to serve others, to forgive others, to give others, to help others learn to forgive? Or are you going to be like the governments of the Gentiles, who have a benefactor who exercises authority one over the other and provides benefits for the people by taking away from your neighbor? You see, you're part of Babylon. You're coming in the name of Babylon. And all these churches that preach Christ are preaching his name in vain because they're coming in the name of Babylon, of Nimrod. That I'm telling you it's okay to take away from your neighbor as long as you do it through Nimrod. The government, Pharaoh, the beast. Now, I'm not at war with the beast. I come in hopes that it might be saved because that beast is composed of thousands, millions upon millions of people who are giving it its form. And I want to save everyone. I want salvation for every single one of them. Christ died that they might be saved. Roman centurions repented. Does that mean coming out of the system mean throwing away your ID cards and running down the street and driving without a license? Absolutely not. I have three articles up there at Preparing You. One is Come Out. The other one is Cry Out. The other one is Put Out. And they're all telling you the same thing. So Mystery Babylon, what's that all about? It's about what you need to learn, that you are a part of Babylon more than you are a part of Christ. So how do you draw near Christ? You go to a different church. You sing a different song. You get a different checklist of... we actually have a Christian checklist on that site, too. You can look that up. Let's read on. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. I don't know if admiration is the best translation there. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, supports her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. So these are all different events in this beast character. It's going to come, it's going to go, it's going to come, it's going to go. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose name were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, and on which the woman sitteth. And like I said, the Confraternity version of the Bible, which is the Catholic version, says that those seven hills are the seven hills of Rome. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet to come. So these are kings that are not necessarily all at one time. They're chronological. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space, and the beast that was and is not, and even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. Now, people get all caught up in that, and we can go on and on and on. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. What are you doing? Do you give your power and strength to the beast because you wanted benefits, because your parents wanted benefits, your grandparents wanted benefits at the expense of your neighbor? Yes. You're going to come out of what? It's not about the card. It's about the spirit. You have to get Christ in you. You have to draw near Christ. How do you draw near? Sacrifice your will, your arrogance, your vanity, your pride. You know how you do that? You get in a congregation full of a bunch of people that all got problems, and you stick it out, and you care about them. Can you stop caring about your own child because he's a brat? Actually, many of them are brats because you didn't really care about them. You enabled them. You helped them become weak because you wanted them to need you. You know, people who need people, they're not the happiest people in the world. They will end up being very sad. The only reason you need people is that you need somebody to help. You don't need people to support you emotionally and all these things. You need to sacrifice your life for others, because that's the name of Christ. He goes on and he says that these who have that one mind of the beast, who think it's okay to take from their neighbor, devour who they will, take a bite out of one another, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Are you faithful in the ways of Christ? Whether elder in a congregation or minister of a congregation or overseer of many congregations who is just a minister to ministers, you must be faithful in the ways of Christ. You must come not to be saved, but to save others. We've had people who wanted to be ministers in the church because they wanted to save themselves. Now, they didn't admit that to themselves. They thought they were believers in Christ. They had all these words that kept flowing out of their mouth. But ultimately, they wanted to save themselves. They said, what is an orphans to me? We've had ministers, supposedly of congregations, who suddenly bail out and abandon their congregations. They haven't even talked to their congregations. And they've gone off. They filed their papers, and now they're free. They're out in the wilderness, and they're starving. You know, we've had people come who couldn't get access to their pensions, and they wanted to become a part of the order, and so that they could get their pension donated to the order, and then we would give them the order. We had people who were getting royalties who wanted to come. Now, they didn't come out and say this, but that's really what their motive. Their motivation wasn't to save others. It's hard to find people who come in the name of Christ. But if you as individuals would start coming in the name of Christ with just baby steps, you may not be ready for a religious order. But you take those baby steps and start moving in the direction of the kingdom. The church is spirit-driven and elder-supported. We're supported by elders of congregations who have Christ in their hearts, not because we made them feel guilty or we badgered them, but because they want to start to do what Christ said to do, which is to forgive and give. Christ came to give. He didn't come to take. He didn't come to be given to. And if you change that much, you draw closer to Christ, closer to the kingdom of heaven. Then you begin to hear his voice. And you will prophesy. And you will dream dreams. And you will know we must leave this town today. And good thing, because it's destroyed tomorrow. But you will know. What good is it if I know what town is going to be destroyed and I'm not in it? Sure, I could call you up and say, get out of town. But then you've made me God. You are following me. You're not following the Holy Spirit. You need to follow the Holy Spirit. To follow the Holy Spirit, you need to draw near the Holy Spirit. To draw near the Holy Spirit, you need to deal with people around you like Christ. You want to get in a congregation with a bunch of people who have dirty feet. So that you've got something to do. And guess what? It's not hard to find people with dirty feet. Because people have been wading around in the mud for years. They were born in the mire. We've returned to the mire. We have been pigs. We have devoured our neighbor, taken a bite out of our neighbor. We have wallowed in the mire of benefits from men who call themselves benefactors. We are Babylon, but now it's not a mystery. So now that you know what Babylon is, what you have to come out of, you have to come out of selfishness. You have to come out of pride and arrogance. I've been studying about religion for 35 years. I am so smart. I'm a genius. You're a fool if you don't work. Strive daily for a daily ministration for the needy of a society where there you love your neighbor as yourself. You don't know anything. Forever studying and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. It's simple. love thy neighbor as thyself. So I know I'm not answering everybody's question exactly the way they wanted to hear it, but that's the way it works. Those who make war against the Lamb, that's many of the churches will make war against the Lamb because they're supported by the beast. They're riding the back of the beast. They depend upon the beast taking away from their neighbor and borrowing against their children's future. And through their covetous practices, they have cursed their children. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Who's the father of the European Union? Now, I don't want to pick on the poor Pope. I want the Pope to repent and be saved. I want him to turn around and stop being such a dying socialist. Start following in the ways of Christ. I don't want to point my... He's not the problem for you. Anyway, you're the problem for you. Because you haven't turned around and stopped being a socialist or just, you know, a recluse. A lot of people say, oh, I don't want those socialist benefits. Oh, I don't want to take any of those benefits. But I don't want to become the benefit of anybody else. Then you lose. That's it. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Yeah, I could tell you a lot about that, but we don't have enough time. We're going to go to break here in a little bit. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill this will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman shall, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city. The great city. Now, when was this written? Who was the great city? Okay. Which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Pax Romana. Okay. So now we're up to Revelation 18. See, we're getting around to Revelation 18, 4 and 5 by reading it in context of the gospel, context of history, the context of truth. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having a great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewards you, and double unto her double according to her works. And the cup which she hath fill to her double. And of course that will take place. And you don't have to do anything but to save you. He's just telling you what's going to happen to her and to her daughters. But to repent, what do you do? This is a different voice now. Because, okay, whole system collapsed, what happens? Where's the new system? Where's the system of Christ? Where's the daily ministration of Christ? Where are you at with that? Have you been a minister to your neighbor? Have you been? Where have you gotten grace? If you only love those who love you, what grace have you? That's what it says. They don't translate it that way. They say, what thanks have you? But it's the word for grace there. They just translated thanks all of a sudden out of the blue. You're not loving others in a vast network of people who care about one another, where your contribution goes and you don't know where it goes. It's gone. It's on the waters. You know, but you see the fruits of that charity. You see it, that people are actually helping. But they don't come back to you specifically and say, thank you for your $10, $20 donation. Because you didn't do it for thanks. You did it for grace from God. And if they thank you, you've got your thanks. You've got your grace from them. But if God thanks you, then you have the grace of God. He will protect you. And when they come to get you, the ground will open up and swallow them up. And then you know, hey, that must be a prophet. Okay. How much she hath glorified herself, lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am now a widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, and for strong is the Lord who judges her. But where will you be? Where are you going to be when this happens? What are you doing when this happens? Well, that's a good question, and we're going to probably talk about that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this break. Welcome back. What's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Moses said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Sounds like the same thing to me. People say, well, the Old Testament was about the law, and the New Testament is about the Spirit. The Old Testament was about the Spirit. Just ask Enoch. They were supposed to be following the spirit of the law. They were supposed to love the law. And the law was the Ten Commandments. The statutes of Moses was his explanation of the law. You know, loving thy neighbor, what does that look like? Well, if you build a balcony and you put a rail around it, you're going to put a stout rail around it because you don't want your neighbor to fall off. That's evidence that you love your neighbor. If you have a bull that pushes and is liable to hurt somebody, you're going to do away with it or pin it up so it doesn't hurt anybody. If you dig a pit, you're going to put a marker around it so that nobody falls in it in the middle of the night because you love your neighbor as yourself. All that is in there. You know, you're not going to be eating foods that's going to cause you to get sick. You know, and in those days, if you ate pork, you're liable to get sick because they were racked with parasites. So you don't want to eat pork. And there's other reasons why you might not want to eat pork, but it isn't a sin to eat a piece of bacon. It could be more of a sin to eat a chocolate chip cookie than it is to eat a piece of bacon. You know, everything out there can be poison, and everything out there can be good for you. Why are you eating it? Intent makes the crime. You know, it's like now they're all legalizing marijuana. Marijuana is getting legal in this state and that state. And marijuana is a wonderful you know, hemp is a wonderful plant. It's got all kinds of great things about it. It can produce an oil that can actually cure cancer. It can do all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of hemp. There's some that have more of the, the drug in it than others, but they all have great value. You can make rope out of this stuff. You can make food out of this stuff. You can make concrete out of this stuff, canvas out of this stuff. It's great. But you can also abuse it, because you use it to lose yourself, because you can't handle the truth. It helps you deal with things. No, it helps you not deal with things. That's why you smoke it, so you don't have to deal with things. So it can be good, it can be bad. It depends on what you're doing with it, why you're doing it. But the kings of the earth, it goes in verse 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, this religious group, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. And her is not just, you know, like Rome and the Pope and all this kind of stuff. I don't want to get into all that. Guys just get absolutely consumed with hating the Pope. You should be consumed with loving Christ. That's it. You keep your eyes on the Lord and love your enemy. I love the Pope. I want the best for him. And if he's here right now, you know what I do? As many as I love, I also... So he'd get a piece of my mind. But I'd be chuckling some of the time. I'd have a knockdown, drag out conversation with him. And I said conversation, not fight. But I'd be talking Christ. I'd be showing him that socialism is coveting your neighbor's goods. There's no other way you can define it. You cannot get away with the idea that socialism is anything but coveting your neighbor's goods. Your neighbor's not allowed to own the means of his own production and the production of material. He can't do that. You all want to have one purse. That's contrary to the Christ. It's contrary to the Bible. It's contrary to the Proverbs. And there's no two ways about it. You just can't get away from that. But now you personally, what do you do to come out of the system? You have to change your heart. Instead of coveting, you have to do the opposite of coveting. You have to give. And it hurts. You know, you have to give, and you give like $15. Well, that's all I could give. The widow gave a penny, and it was more than $1 million. Because she gave more than she could afford. I'm not out here like, what is it, Crest Low Dollar. Give, and God will bless you. Give to me, and God will bless you. But you have to give. You have to give of your time, of your energy, of your life. You have to lay down your life. But you have to do it out of love, not out of guilt. Out of love. You have to love the Pope. I'm not saying give to him. He's already got golden crowns and that. So he doesn't need anything. Yeah, but you need to love him. So, anyway, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city of Babylon, because we're talking about the whole city of Babylon is also called her. The whole city, not just the harlot. The harlot's a her, but the whole city of Babylon's a her. So you have to be careful when they say her. They're not always talking about the same her. And Babylon is this socialist system where you have a benefactor like Nimrod who exercises authority, or like Cain who exercises authority. He takes from one class of citizen and gives to another. That's Babylon. But this is Babylon, the mighty city. For in 1 hour, 1 hour is thy judgment come. and the merchants of the earth, this is another group, shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth her merchandise anymore. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odorous ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. That's all of you. But even souls of men. Souls of men. Which actually is the life of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things, you know, those slaves back then, those are merchandise, right? Slaves are merchandise, because they were talking about your merchandise of gold and slaves and souls of men. What did Peter say? You do covetousness, you will be made merchandise. Not through fraud, not through the actions of governments or the policies of governments. It's your covetousness that has made you merchandise. You have to stop being covetous. Not only of your neighbor's goods, but of what God has given you. You must take what God has given you and invest it in others. Now, how you do that, that's between you and God. It's He who's going to give you grace. It's He who's going to give you salvation. I don't know how you should do that. You have to do that. You can't even hear God. You don't know what God wants you to do. You have to be still and know. Stop all the studying. Start praying. Get down in a humble fashion. Start praying and asking God, what can I do? And really yearning day by day, what can I do? What more can I do? What else can I do? That's your prayer unceasingly in your heart, in every corner of your heart, every corner of your being. How can I serve God by serving others? Not enabling them, but serving them. You just start a food kitchen and you just feed every jerk that comes down the street. You may not be serving God. You may just be enabling drug addicts and lazy people. So it's a challenge. And you don't have to start big, but you have to start giving. And you can't start a food kitchen with $15. We could do all kinds of things if people were starting to contribute to us, but we're always struggling because the truth is not profitable today in a world that can't handle the truth. In a world where people want their ears tickled. They want to go and sit in their nice, pretty church and have a preacher tell them that they're saved. They want good music, but they don't want to harmonize with Christ. Want to harmonize with Christ? Somebody's probably going to try to crucify you in this world. And saying, alas and alas, the great city. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand far off and fear for her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, decked in gold and precious stones and pearls for in 1 hour. Now we're not just talking Rome, we're talking Babylon, mystery Babylon the Great, the whole enchilada. With all its great riches, it's come to naught in a very short period of time. We can see things crumbling about us. Every shipmaster, all the company in ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. and cried when they saw the smoke of the burning, saying, what city is like unto the great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas. Now, some of this is metaphorically. Some of this, there will actually be, but actually, many of these things have already happened. But they're going to happen again. You see, so Friedrich is right when he says it's already happened. But when he fails to see that it's going to happen again, then he fails to understand prophecy. But where are you standing? Are you far off with the merchants of the earth? Are you one of the slaves that nobody wants anymore? Or are you in a more righteous habitation? You're supposed to be friends with the unrighteous man. And Mammon is entrusted wealth, and that's what this is. Mystery of Babylon is Mammon. It's the entrusted wealth of Mammon. They own everything. They own all the stuff that's in trust to Babylon is the Mammon. This is what's entrusted, including the souls of men. The labor and souls of men. That's you. Every one of you. You're in bondage out there. Now, there are a few of you denying it, but that doesn't make it so. Your parents sold you into bondage. Nowhere does Moses come in and say, yeah, your parents sold you into bondage, and now I'm going to have to help let you go. They got more and more into bondage when they were in Egypt. They became more and more dependent, and they took and took and took and took, and then the people finally cried out. But God didn't hear them. And so they took and took and took and took, and the people cried out some more. God didn't hear. But somebody started turning around. Moses, who started becoming this man of power, exercising authority, heir to the throne of Egypt, said, no, I won't do this. Wasn't Abraham the heir to the throne in Haran? And he left it to his brother? And he went out and became this Hebrew wanderer with a nether system where he built altars of charity. And those altars of charity, those living stones of the altars of charity, took care of one another. He created a network so great with an army of five kings came in, taking one city-state after another, including Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was able to say, well, I'm going to go and stop them. And enough people gathered with him that they stopped them in one night. Where is your network of Christ? You don't have one because you've never been attending to a daily ministration. You want to be saved? Start trying to save others. We just went full circle. That's coming in the name of Christ. So this burning, burning, burning giant city in 1 hour. Are you ready? Is it going to happen? Are you ready? So are you out there in the wilderness trying to, you know, get your little salvation corner of the world all set? We're trying to create retreats for thousands of people. But which people will we call to come in? People who care about others. People who have shown the fruits of repentance. What are the fruits of repentance? You start doing things in the name of Christ the way Christ would have done them. You start sacrificing yourself. And people aren't doing that. I mean, some are. But we need to do that. You can't do this without the Spirit of God working in you. You're babes. Babes are selfish. Babes want what they want, and they want it now, and they cry if they don't get it. You need to want this, want that Spirit guiding you, lifting you up, supporting you, giving you the power to let go. And every time you do that, you're drawn closer. But if you want to go off and become a political leader and save the world, You want to save the world? Get people to start taking care of one another. Homeschooling, home health, congregations that care about next congregation, who give out of their congregation. They say, you know, we don't have any needs here, but I still want to give 10% of everything I have, or whatever it is. You know, you don't have to give. You know, if you're making $10 million a year, you shouldn't be giving 10%. You should be giving more. But that's your choice in the kingdom. That's between you and God in the kingdom. The world wants to just take it away from you. But they operate by force. John the Baptist didn't operate by force. He said to operate by charity. Jesus said operate by charity. Moses said operate by charity. Free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings, over and over again. I'm saying operate the same way. Don't just sit there listening to the radio. Don't just sit in your churches looking at the big screen TV. Don't just sit there listening to music and feeling, get the good feeling that I'm holy. Roll up your sleeves and put your hand to the plow. There's a job to be done. Rejoice over her, they say, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Now, you have to be careful that you don't put this into B-movie context. Millions and millions of people have died through religious persecution. We are not religious persecutors. We don't want anybody to die. We don't want anybody to be cursed and burned up. We want everybody to repent. But destruction cometh. And so therefore we want to warn people. But if you just go around telling them and preaching them, but you're not forming that daily ministration and taking care of one another, you're just a kook on the street. Now the reality is there are demons and devils. There is a spiritual element to this. And it's eating away at people. It's influencing them. It's saying, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to care about them. No, they're probably not good people anyway. And their eschatology is a little screwed up, so don't worry about them. They're appealing to your vanity and your selfishness. And the mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus will violence, with violence, shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And most of you will not survive that, because most of you are a part of that, dependent upon that. And some of you are trying to get your own little safe refuge. Be careful of that. I'm not saying it's bad. Be careful of trying to save yourself, because that's not coming in the name of Christ. And the voice of the harpers and the musicians and the pipers and the trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. Your big screen TV won't go on anymore. And your band amplifiers won't work anymore. And no craftsman, whosoever in craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. You know, grinding out the grain. And the light of a candle shall shine no more. Electricity will go out. At all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by their sorceries were all the nations deceived. Boy, that ain't true. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain unto the earth. And so that's the end of Revelation 18. So anyway, you got kind of an idea there of the answers to the questions. The other individual had asked a question about Deuteronomy 18:19-22. And we probably don't have time to look at that, but and it shall come to pass, you know, a prophet, like I say, back to the prophet thing. A prophet is not a prophet if he doesn't preach seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom of God was a peculiar people who took care of one another in a society of faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. Helping families sustain one another. If you don't have a family, if you don't have a father or mother, you find one that might need, and you become an adopted son or uncle, and you help, you give life. You help one another, you serve one another. That's your needs to be your passion. And if that's not their passion, if they're just trying to give you facts and information. I mean, most people think prophecy is just about telling people about the future. Prophecy is telling the people the truth about the present and the truth about the past. And occasionally the truth about the future. But if you really begin to walk in the ways of God, you shall be a prophet. And you shall not be afraid. Because you will know the truth. It will be written in your heart. It's through Revelation he will build this church. You can't receive revelation unless you repent and turn around and draw near Christ. You will only hear the voice of demons in your head, an influence of demons in your head, not the Holy Spirit. But it's not because they have power. It's because you refuse to return to the ways of Christ. You're slothful in the ways of Christ. You need to start loving your neighbor as yourself. You need to start forgiving all his iniquities, but then rebuke his iniquities. But his iniquities is not that he has a particular theology or eschatology, because he doesn't love his neighbor as himself. He doesn't take care of his children. He doesn't take care of himself. He self-indulges in himself. He doesn't. And, you know, whatever it is, but don't be careful. You don't become too judgmental, because a lot of the preaching you do has to be in the stillness of love. And until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.